the sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number five, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds right here at Circus Sportsbook. And the first 4 hours just flew by. We had a great, obviously, Big 12 title game with a lot of intrigue that came down to literally, it was like watching Friday Night Lights. Mm-hmm. This fourth down at the 1 yard line for Odessa Permian against Dallas Carter. Could they get that final yard? They could not get that final yard down there in Jerry World as Baylor wins the Big 12. And the reason why we bring that up is the odds for Notre Dame right now, before we get to the Georgia-Alabama game and certainly the Houston-Cincinnati game, which is getting ready to kick off, their odds have almost gone up to 60% to make the college football playoff. So again, pre-flop, Notre Dame to win the national championship today was 25-1 to win the whole thing. You got to find that circuitous path to get there.
And Georgia is their best friend now.
And right now, that is huge. So you're starting to believe that with this loss today for number five Oklahoma State, that if Georgia just does what they are favored to do by 6.5 points here at BetMGM to beat Alabama, Notre Dame's in the college football playoff.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of that Alabama-Georgia, by the way, that kickoff is going to be in about 10 minutes from now, obviously. You know, get the intrigue. Build it up a little bit more. A little bit more of a hype machine. And look, we talked with BetMGM's Jeff Stoneback here in the last hour. Said, we definitely need Alabama. Mm-hmm. It's been a while. As Stain was saying, that the book has needed Crimson Tide, but they absolutely are going to need him on this afternoon.
It is insane to think about that. Not that this will be easy by any stretch of the imagination, and we've seen some late money coming in here in Alabama a little bit. Those 6.5 starting to disappear, get down to 6. That all Notre Dame, without Brian Kelly, that they need to make it to the college football playoff, is to have Georgia beat Alabama. It sounds easy. But we'll see if that does, in fact, hold. But now, if you're Brian Kelly, just in your heart of hearts, a little bit of remorse?
Well, he was, I will say, I think he was on Game Day this morning or one of the pregame shows, and he was talking about, look, they shouldn't be penalized for that. So he was kind of campaigning for his old club a little bit, I think. But, you know, nevertheless, Brian Kelly busy trying to get that accent down, that go Tigers! Just not the same from a Northeastern guy.
Just
like gotta
get
Kelly.
The old family down here to LSU. Yes. He's from Boston.
Yeah, he's from somewhere in the Northeast. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in Cajun country, do as the Cajuns do. And speaking of the Cajuns, by the way, still up 7-0 in the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana Lafayette over Appalachian State.
And by the way, I'm not mad at Brian Kelly for trying to acclimate himself to the new surroundings. It was a little bit much. Let's just put it that way. By the way, in the San Diego State Utah State game, we've been talking about the punter, right? We're trying to make him the first
overall
pick.
This is the most shocking development of the day, by the way, folks.
It is breaking news. What happened to Brady Hoke's punter?
Yeah, Matt Ariza, the punt god, had a punt blocked.
The punt god.
And now Utah State is in San Diego State territory. That's more shocking than any of the bat you know what crazy stuff that we saw in Jerry World in the Big 12 championship game.
And by the way, Utah State had a fourth down decision to make, and they went for it on fourth and one. And they've gotten that. So right now, Utah State, again, missed field goal earlier, but they're back in Brady Hoke territory here. Still scoreless here. 11 minutes to go. And again, that total, the adjusted line is down to 36.5 for the in-game wagers there. Let's get back to this Cincinnati-Houston game. You don't want to say that Notre Dame is now not interested in this game, because certainly Notre Dame backers, if you have them at 25-1 to win the national championship, it still has a lot of importance here. But I do wonder, does a Cincinnati win, if it holds, and right now they're big favorites to do so at 10.5, I wonder if that really hurts Notre Dame after what happened in the Big 12 title game.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that it does. I mean, obviously, if they win, I think it helps Notre Dame boost their power rating. Houston only ranked 21st in terms of the playoff rankings. I thought that they would be ranked a little higher, but still, nevertheless, that's a quality win.
It is,
even if you beat Houston. I know Houston, you know, they really haven't played anybody, let's be honest, but 11 wins. You never apologize for winning 11 games in a row. And Dana Holgorsen and his bunch certainly aren't going to start now. But we're about to get kicked off in Nippert. Market's pretty much going to be 10.5 across the board, 52.5 now the total at BetMGM.
We're going to have Scott Seidenberg on. He is the host of the Look Ahead here on VSiN Weeknights. And I can already tell before we have Scott on, I know he's taking the Cougs. If you know Scott and you watch the show, and you should, in our conversations with him throughout the Saturdays here Betting Across America. I know he really likes this team. Did you like a small play to the under, I believe, in the first half?
Yeah.
Is that for more of a feeling out process?
Yeah, I got a better number than what it's going to close at, because now you're seeing some 26.5s, 27 on that first half total, by the way, at BetMGM. One outlier, though, BetMGM is kind of the outlier in the market.
Mm.
Pretty much 6.5 for the first half if you like the Bearcats, but at BetMGM, got to lay the full 7.
And how do you handicap those first half bettors? If they is it more that if I like Houston, let's say, okay, and it's 10.5, and that's what I'm getting pre-flop. Now you're giving me 6.5. And again, you don't know how the coin toss is going to go. Mm-hmm. Who's going to get that ultimate extra possession in that first half? Is the theory, though, for first half bettors, if I like the points, I'm going to get more by taking Houston here in the first half than I do for
the
whole game?
Yeah, I think so. And clearly right now at BetMGM, they are putting out a 7 out there just from a number value standpoint, because nowhere else in the market has a 7 right now. So, look, I think there's something to that where Cincinnati, you know, and that's why I was asking Mo Egger earlier. I was like, is this going to be like the Tulsa game where they were life and death and they struggled from the get-go? Or is this going to be like SMU where they – put the foot on the throat from the opening kickoff and never looked back? Maybe it's going to be somewhere in the middle here.
Okay.
I think. And look, I think Cincinnati might have some jitters, because now all of a sudden, here's where the pressure doesn't mount as much when you're a 28.5 point favorite on the road against South Florida.
Mm-mm.
The pressure doesn't necessarily mount when you're playing against Navy or you're playing against Temple. This is where the pressure is going to be. And I go back to what Paul Stone mentioned earlier. The guy, the quarterback in terms of FCS that had turned the ball over the most, I believe he said, was Spencer Sanders.
Yes.
And what did we see out of Spencer Sanders?
It turned it over
4 interceptions a day. And that pretty much, with all the decisions and everything, the wackiness that happened in that game, it came down to the fact that your quarterback turned it over 4 times. And that's basically why you lost the game. Whatever decision making to kick the field goal or to not go for it, it came down to your quarterback turns it over. Does Desmond Ridder, in his final game as a Cincinnati Bearcat, fall into that trap? And he's turned it over the second amount.
That's right.
Most of a quarterback in terms of interceptions and fumbles. So I could see a little bit of jitters early, because this is big for Cincinnati. I mean, Nippert Stadium is full of this biggest game in program history. Houston got to be thinking, okay, we don't have a playoff to play for, but we can knock these guys out of the playoff. And don't think that Houston won't, because, by the way, Cincinnati, we know, is going to be ending up in the Big 12. So it's like, let's send you a nice parting gift, fellas. Let's send you a big kick in the butt as you walk out the door.
All right, so let's see again. Desmond Ridder, long shot there, 1,000-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. Don't think that is going – that feels like dead money there. But again, 100-1, rather. It should be 1,000-1, because I don't see even a 100-1 of that scenario playing out. And again, 8 interceptions for Desmond Ridder so far this year. He's going to have to play turnover-free football, or at least limit those turnovers today to avoid the upset against Houston. Speaking of upsets – Utah State, after that block punt, they went 4th and 4th down, and they capitalized on that drive as they have gone up 7-0 right now against Brady Hoke and San Diego
State. Yeah, it set it up off the punt block, or punt god, Matt Ariza, getting blocked. So now you look, Utah State has been a little bit better offensively. No turnovers so far, 105 yards. That was capped off a touchdown, Logan Bonner to Derek Wright from 5 yards out. Waiting for a new price to be placed at BetMGM, but 10 minutes left to go in the second quarter. Does look like a low-scoring game. Utah State, the more explosive of the offenses. San Diego State, who is going back with Jordan Brookshire. Remember, they had been starting Lucas Johnson for a while, who was more of that option-type quarterback that they got as a transfer from Georgia Tech. So now, Utah State minus 1.5, 40.5 your total.
Yeah, minus 1.5. And that's interesting to me, because, again, you expect Brady Hoke at some point to get this offense going here. So now you can actually catch 1.5 if you think San Diego State, again, down 7-0 early. And then over-under right now, 39.5 is where they are after that touchdown. Actually moved it up, because it was down as low as 36.5 here at BetMGM. That is with the uptick with that touchdown to get up to 39.5. Very quickly, as we get back to Cincinnati and Houston here, and again, you mentioned some places here you can get Houston plus 7 in the first half. You like the under in that first half. Do you expect the points to – kind of like you really handicapped it well, I thought, in the Big 12 title game here, where you had the under in the second half, and that cashed as well. Is that what you might see in reverse here, maybe the underplay in the first half and those points come later in that Houston-Cincinnati game?
Yeah, I think so, as that game has just now kicked off here. So – I think maybe a little bit of jitters early, as Houston does get a nice play, though, on the first play from scrimmage.
Okay, so we'll see. That game has kicked off. And again, a very, very important game. But it is interesting if you're a Notre Dame backer out there. Oklahoma State is done. You don't have to worry about Oklahoma State and the representative from the Big 12 taking your spot if you're the Fighting Irish. It could come down to this Houston-Cincinnati game, but certainly the Georgia-Alabama game, a lot is on the line for all those teams that we just mentioned there. Houston right now, a big play deep into Cincinnati territory. They've got a first down at about the 35-yard line, so a great start here for the visiting Cougs getting 10.5.
Yeah, it looks like they're coming out tempo here, trying to get Cincinnati off guard here. We've talked about how Cincinnati's defense, one of the best in the country, just a nice little inside handoff there, and off to the races for a big game. So I think Houston, Holgerson's going to try to mix up some tempo here, just see if they can, you know, sometimes you make the defense's speed work against him, and that's what he's trying to do, and so far so good through two plays.
And again, you mentioned it too, Wes, that maybe a little bit of jitters, certainly for Cincinnati, because when you come out and you know that all you have to do is win this game and you're going to the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any scenario that we see now that if Cincinnati wins, that they don't go to the college football playoff.
Houston in the red zone, by the way, about a minute and a half into the game, just like that. Cincinnati -7.5, -105, 56.5 on the total.
Okay, so Utah State right now with the 7-0 lead against San Diego State, Louisiana Lafayette with a 7-0 lead against App State. And right now, Houston, what an impressive opening drive at Nippert Stadium as they try to get on the board first. Don't go anywhere. We've got so much more to get to. Scott Seidberg later on this hour. Come on back. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for money line over-unders and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Dave Ross back alongside Ben Falk out there at Mandalay Bay. Of course, he is our VP of digital content. And Ben, we all have kickoff here between Alabama and Georgia. Still scoreless as Alabama gets Georgia to punt the football to the Crimson Tide. So they'll get their first possession. And we do have points at Nippert Stadium as Houston has taken a early 3-0 lead there as they were pre-flop getting about 10.5 closing number there against Cincinnati. You mentioned earlier in the program here that we had some big losers come up on Oklahoma State on some very big bets, but we do have some other big bets that you've seen so far. Let's start off with the Alabama and Georgia game. What's the biggest wager you've seen there?
Yeah, we always like to highlight the losers, right? That makes everyone feel
sorry.
So good. No, it's all good. This has just been a massively bet game, as you would expect, by far the most handled game and will be of college football weekend. SEC championship, obviously two big name teams in Alabama and Georgia. We've had a couple of big bets on both sides here. So one bet just came in right before kickoff on Alabama, $149,955. Maybe emptying the account there. Whoa. On the Bama money line.
Whoa.
Not even taking him the spread. Bama money line +190. On the other side, we had two big ones on Georgia, $180,000 on the Georgia money line. That was at -250. And $104,125 is an interesting wager. $104,125 on Georgia -6, -120. This was at Biloxi down in Mississippi, and the better bought a half point to get it to -6 instead of -6.5. So
wow.
not exactly sure going on with that one. I guess you feel a little safer with the 6 instead of 6.5. But listen, if I had 100 grand to throw around, you know, who am I to throw shade?
Yeah, exactly. It's your money. You can do it with it as you see. Everybody's got their own system, so maybe somehow he finds the value there in buying that number. But Ben, on Twitter, he tweeted out that we saw the end of a remarkable streak for the Alabama Crimson Tide today. What was it?
Yeah, I think there's always interesting things in gambling, certainly, and this would qualify. You know, you had the Houston Astros a couple years ago were a favorite in so many consecutive games. The Los Angeles Dodgers over the past couple of seasons and the Alabama Crimson Tide have been that team in college football. And I think we always kind of talk about trends, right, and how much they matter, and the Bill Belichick New England Patriots, and how much can you really take from the Patriots dominating the Bills when that was Belichick and Brady, you know, so long ago, and now it's different teams this year. I think in college football there's a little more kind of institution, or institutional knowledge, institutional trends. This is one with Alabama. They were favored in 92 consecutive games over 6 years. The last game they were not a favorite, coincidentally at Georgia. That was October 3rd, 2015. So Alabama, again, looked like they were going to be an underdog in this game. Obviously, once it was +6, +6.5, they were very clearly going to be an underdog. And now official that Alabama favored streak comes to an end. 92 consecutive games. It's going to be very difficult for any program to reach that over the course of 6+ years.
Yeah, it's amazing to me too, Ben, as you look at the live numbers here, and after Alabama got a stop and forced Georgia to punt, you saw already that number, the live in-game number, come down to 3.5. I mean, that's a significant move for one stop. So again, if you're a Bama backer, you got to feel pretty good about that now, because the number in pocket you'd only get is 3.5 going forward here, and that total down to 47.5. Alabama did get a first down on the first drive. But Ben, it's so rare, to your point of your tweet, that you see Alabama not only as an underdog, but to get this kind of value pre-flop at 6, 6.5 here. That's why we saw most of the tickets, though. I'm surprised we're still on Georgia.
Yeah, and Alabama is such that team, right, that all of these books have kind of in-game algorithms and what usual teams have based on the score and the time, down and distance, et cetera. They have to be careful with Alabama, and I think, like you said, that is why the in-game number is probably going to move a little more today with Alabama as opposed to some other games, because you just can't lay – you just can't have Alabama at all of a sudden a plus 10 too early, plus 10.5. The public is going to line up and bet that. And potentially, you could come out ahead, right, if Georgia ends up dominating kind of in the same way we had that Super Bowl, right, with the Chiefs and the Bucks. You had the Chiefs. You just kept getting better and better numbers. But you kind of saw how that game was going. I think that's why in-game, especially in this game, it's really important to see how that Alabama offense looks against that vaunted Georgia defense. And if Georgia's defense shuts Alabama down, all right, you feel pretty good. You're starting to feel better about that Georgia -6.5 pregame wager. Otherwise, you might want to, you know, take a peek here at Alabama if it looks like their defense is holding up against Georgia's offense and they can move the ball a little bit on that Georgia defense.
All right, well, so far, good news for the defenses here, as after that initial first down for Alabama, Georgia does get the stop there. They've just punted the football back to Georgia. So I'll be very curious to see where those numbers go, because, again, that's a heck of an adjustment here in game after one stop for Alabama for that to go down to 3.5. Now with Georgia getting the ball back, I'm sure we're going to see that number go up. Ben, we just saw points at Nippert Stadium. Our first touchdown of the day comes for the home team, Cincinnati. So again, pre-flop, they were 10.5. They have kicked the extra points, so 7-3 right now. And you see Cincinnati now going up to an 11.5 point favorite here. Did you see any money coming in on the Bearcats here? Any big wagers in this game that you of note?
No, nothing too big. I think that Jeff had touched on it a little bit. It's a little tougher when you have, I think, the public in general, across books and some at BetMGM too, did have some wagers on Houston. The public's still going to be on Cincinnati, but you're getting a good Houston offense. You're getting 11 and 11.5 points. I think for the public, that is attractive, as well as a Houston team that I believe only had lost one or two games this season. So a very good team. You're getting a ton of points. A lot of times, you know, we're trying to educate bettors, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's not that much research that goes into these games. They go, wait a second, they have one way of one loss. They're getting 11 points. Boom, I'll take it. So I think for this in-game, I'd really watch that Houston offense in the second possession, right? We know they had that big play. Was that something that they found a weakness in Cincinnati, or is that just kind of a one-off? They had a big play, and now they're not going to be able to do as much, and Cincinnati will kind of roll. I think that's the fascinating thing about in-game is you can learn something with each possession, and you can really either go kind of supporting your initial position or really potentially bet the other side if it's like, wow, I just was on the wrong side pregame, and now instead of losing my entire initial bet, I can at least make something back on the other side.
That's great advice, Ben. Appreciate you. We'll get right back to you here after a short timeout. But we do have more points right now between Utah State and San Diego State. Again, pre-flop here, San Diego State was about a 6.5-point favorite. That's where it closed at most books here. And right now, it's all Aggies, as I believe they've just gotten in hit pay dirt again.
And a dropped interception, by the way, San Diego State had. So now Utah State in the end zone about to make it 14-0. 5 minutes left to go in the first half. And you were mentioning Houston, Cincinnati. We kind of saw Houston on that first drive go tempo. Cincinnati, a very quick drive. Woo. I believe it was five plays for like 82 yards. Yeah, five plays, 82 yards, and 217. So they were going tempo, and meanwhile in the SEC, where we still have no score, Georgia minus 4.5, 47.5, the current numbers at BetMGM. Alabama on that first drive tried to go a little bit of tempo, I think, you know, maybe. And I don't necessarily disagree with that because it's like, okay, use this, what Tony Barnhart and I, and we agreed with him, referred to as almost a generational defense at Georgia. Use this speed against them, getting them, moving them from side to side, you know, a little bit. And I think Alabama tried to put them off balance, but nevertheless to no avail, as Stetson Bennett and the Georgia Bulldogs will have the ball for the first time, and we'll have a third and short.
Yeah, and that's amazing because, again, when you've already had two possessions, a possession for each team, and each team punted, and there's still 12 minutes to go in the first quarter, to your point.
Yeah,
both these teams have kind of gone up tempo here early on, so not a lot of clock has come off here. As Georgia's going to have a third and short against Alabama right now. But again, watching, like Ben and I were just discussing, the live numbers, after one stop of Georgia, it went from 6.5 to 3.5, right? And now it's back up to 4.5 here as Georgia's got a third and short. Boy, that's something to monitor if you're an in-game wager.
Yeah, and look, you're seeing this total, I think. I mean, it was a low total anyway for this game, under 50. But the reason why it's so low, the Georgia Bulldogs defense are the first defense to hold every opponent to 17 points or less since 1979.
Wow.
That was, I think Darryl Royal was coaching the Texas Longhorns. They were the last team to do it in 79. So that's why you're seeing this under move very quickly. It's now down to 46.5.
All right. I remember I did my little pizza money, Wes Reynolds style, three team money line parlay. And I had Baylor, Alabama, and Houston. Felt good when it was 3-0 Houston. Not as good right now. 7-3 Cincinnati, and Georgia did get that big first down. They are about midfield here as we're still waiting for points in the SEC title game. My goodness, don't go anywhere. Scott Seidenberg at the top of the hour. We've got all your adjusted odds and numbers and the Heisman watch. Don't go anywhere. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Bowl Betting Guide is almost here with everything you need to bet smarter on every bowl game. This year's guide provides matchup analysis on all 41 bowl games, including insights, trends, data, and predictions to help you make your best bets. The guide is designed to give you an edge whether you are betting on every game, playing contests, or just want to find a few key high-value props. The VSiN Cup Bowl Betting Guide drops on December 13th. So make sure to get your copy today for only $19.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. That is vsin.com/subscribe. Back here on Betting Across America, Wes Reynolds, Dave Ross, Ben Fox out there at the Mandalay Bay for us on VSiN, the Sport Betting Network, as always presented by BetMGM. And do have a little bit of an update here in terms of scoring. Alabama gets a big sack on third down of Stetson Bennett. He was sacked by Dallas Turner for a loss of 10 yards. Georgia's going to have to settle for 3-0 Bulldogs. Bulldogs minus 5.5, 45.5 now on the in-game total. Houston now making their way once again down to Cincinnati territory. Bearcats 7-3. Bearcats minus 8.5, 58.5 all the way up to on the total. So Houston definitely getting this Cincinnati defense off guard. So we will keep you updated on those games. Couple other scores. Utah State 14-0 over San Diego State. 2 minutes left to go in the first half in the Mountain West title game. Utah State minus 4.5, 47.5 on the total. And then also to update on the fun belt here, Appalachian State and Louisiana Lafayette. Early second quarter, ULL up 7-0 on Appalachian State. So that gets you up to date on what we've got going on. We'll bring in Ben Fox back in from the Mandalay Bay. And while we have a chance of obviously a very small college slate here on Saturday being Championship Saturday, but we do have a very interesting NFL slate tomorrow. A lot of those games last week, Ben, were very priced close to the number, around 2.5, 3, 3.5. A lot more bigger favorites on this card, and one of them is your hometown team, the Minnesota Vikings. Seeing some sevens out there still, 7.5 at Detroit. Look, Minnesota's still right there in that playoff mix, and we know watching Minnesota, Ben, this team plays only close games. They don't play blowouts. Is it finally time for a blowout for the Minnesota Vikings?
Wes, I would love to say yes. Frankly, I'm terrified of this game. This is exactly kind of setting up for what all Vikings fans, I think, fear. I think I've tweeted out, others have said, the Vikings have led by at least a touchdown in every single game. I think Gil Brandt had earlier that's the only, they're one of, I think, 22 teams to do that since the Super Bowl era. They're the only team that's under 500. So they have been playing these roller coaster games. They've been getting leads. The defense hasn't necessarily been holding up. Mike Zimmer, some questionable in-game decision making. The issue for me here is the injuries are starting to pile up. Eric Kendricks now ruled out. Patrick Peterson was on the COVID list before. He's questionable. We're not sure if he's going to play. Cam Bynum is out. Mackenzie Alexander questionable. Those are starting to add up, as well as Anthony Barr questionable. There is a big drop-off, as we saw when Patrick Peterson was out for those three games, and all of a sudden you have Cam Dantzler and others as your number one and two instead of two and three corners. Now, again, the Lions also have DeAndre Swift, probably their best offensive player. He's out. Panay Sewell is questionable with an illness in the shoulder. So a ton of injuries. I think I would look to those before kind of placing a wager. I do have a teaser on the Vikings from last week when it was -7.5 to get that to 1.5. So a couple of still open-ended teasers on that. But I'm not sure what you feel on this game. I'm just terrified this is going to be another. Somehow the Lions are up 13-10 in the fourth quarter. The Vikings, a couple missed field goals, a couple fourth down conversions they didn't get, and we're going, how is this a game? You know, Jared Goff has 125 yards passing, and the Vikings are losing.
Your terror matches my terror kind of on the Indianapolis Colts here, now up to 10 in the market at Houston. And look, I don't like road divisional favorites are about my least favorite bets to make in the NFL. I did make it on your Vikings, though, at 7, and it's still 7 in the contest, so I wonder if that's going to be consensus when that's going to be revealed later on today to see what is going to happen here. But road favorites, man, they're so tough to bet, and not only in contest, not only personally, but in contest, but in Survivor. So we shall see what transpires. What we've seen with Detroit, I think, so far this season, Ben, is like they get that one big effort, right? And then the next week they have like nothing left. And then they get another big effort. And then they go lame and have nothing left and get blown out. So I think, obviously a big spot for Minnesota trying to hang in that wild card chase. I feel like they're a better team than that 5-6 record, but we shall see here. And then you saw the graphic up there. Indianapolis now laying 10 at Houston. By the way, Ryan Kelly, the center, is going to be out for Indianapolis due to being put on the COVID-19 list. So big number against a bad team on the road, but still a big number, especially in that sandwich spot between the Bucs and the Patriots. Also, interested to hear the reaction, Ben, for Houston-Cincinnati. Houston's back in the end zone yet again. Clayton Tune to Nathaniel Dell, 16 yards out. 10-7, Cougars have come to play. Cincinnati -6.5, 61.5. What's the split on the crowd over there at the Mandalay Bay with this one?
Not too big of a split, I'd say, Wes. I think it really is. I've been a little surprised. I think it's more Alabama backers, or at least they're more vocal in the SEC championship game. Haven't heard as much for that Houston-Cincinnati game. But I think the question is, are you starting to get a little concerned now if you are Cincinnati? A Cincinnati backer, certainly at that -10, 10.5. But Cincinnati money line, or just a Cincinnati fan, you know, Houston obviously has the good offense. But you probably would have hoped you'd, you know, impose your will a little bit here and have a little more of a lead, now obviously trailing that early first quarter. Has this been surprising for you and kind of how Houston's come out?
It has been, because they've run tempo and a very good game plan from Dana Holgorsen and also the offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson. They've got this team off guard. We're not used to seeing Cincinnati off guard this much defensively, but they're running tempo. They're running the quick hitters up the middle, kind of that little bit of zone read. Houston, actually, they've already got 119 yards of offense and 8 first downs. We're not even through the first quarter. Running the ball okay, only 8 carries for 25 yards, but a lot of short passes, mm-hmm. getting Clayton Tune in rhythm, 6 of 8 for 94 and a touchdown. But, yeah, I look like my handicap was wrong on this one because I thought this would be a slow start. It is anything but at Nippert Stadium.
10-7 so far. Ben, we'll check back in with you. We heard the loud, over Ben's shoulder, and I think I made the same face. Alabama almost had a big, deep strike to get it deep into Georgia territory, but they are moving it against this Bulldog defense here. And you mentioned it with the tempo in Bryce Young and what Nick Saban's trying to do here. They're throwing the ball, I think, a little bit more than people thought mm-hmm. initially, but it is going to be 3rd and 10 here at about the Georgia 45.
Yeah, I had to throw a short one there. It got tipped, almost intercepted by Georgia, but now 3rd and long for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Georgia, by the way, -4.5 with that 3-0 lead. Total all the way down to 43.5.
Wow. And what do you make of this again for the in-game wagers here where it is down to 3.5 here with Alabama getting a little bit of traction here with Bryce Young? And also, you feel like if Bryce Young just has an mm-hmm. average or above average game, the Heisman Trophy's his, right?
You would think so. And look, the thing, that doesn't mean you don't ever use him in the pocket as a passer here, but I do want to see if they get Bryce Young on the move here a little bit, not only running the football, but also, scrambling, throwing on the run. That is going to be incomplete punt time for the Tide.
Yeah, look at those numbers. They are spectacular with the 40 touchdowns and the 4 picks. But again, 4th and 10 right now, as that game looks like we're still going to be stalemated with another punt. But meanwhile, you mentioned it at Nippert Stadium.
Yeah.
My goodness,
yeah.
Jerome Ford, a bolt of lightning,
yeah.
79 yards to the house.
This is happy action fun time when Woo. You get a big time over. 79 yards from Jerome Ford. 1-play drive. Talked about how Houston's going tempo. No better way to go tempo and just score on one play, which is what the Bearcats did now. Going to be 13-10, PAT pending. We do have a shootout here. Not what I expected here in Cincinnati, but weather looks very cooperative, doesn't look too windy there. So was thinking we might get at least a little weather to play in that factor. It is not going to matter here as the official stopping play before the extra point. So no live line yet at BetMGM, but they're going up and down the
wow.
field. Defense is looking optional, at least early on, in the American Championship.
All right, there was a penalty against Houston. That touchdown is going to stand. So 13-10 PAT pending. Still 3-0 Georgia against Alabama.
Now let me ask you as a better, Dave, do you prefer a painful end, or you'd prefer a quick death?
Quick death.
I'm getting a quick death here with this total here in Cincinnati as they go ahead and beat the drum there on the sideline. We're waiting for the PAT. 4:06 left to go, 13-10 Bearcats.
What do they always say, like in Gladiator and Game of Thrones? A clean death.
Yes.
A quick death. That's
yes.
That's what they always like if it's going to go down.
Yeah.
So it looks like that first half under might go by the wayside here as that PAT is good, 14-10 right there. Georgia, again, right now 3.5 at the live number here against Alabama, 3-0 there, 6.5 now after they get that stop. So, again, these numbers are going up by possession, as you've seen here, whether or not the stops happen. So Alabama right now back up to almost the pre-flop number of getting 6.5.
Yeah, and look, good defense there by the Georgia Bulldogs after they had that little drive going on, but it held it up. And look, we talked about Georgia and that defense pretty much number one or number two in about every statistical category. So Bulldogs are going to get the ball back. It looks like San Diego State is finally on the board
yep.
here. About to go to halftime, I would expect, depending on the field position. Actually, Utah State at the Aztec 43, so they may be able to get 3 before the end of the half. 14-3 Aggies. Aggies -6.5, 39.5 on the total.
And the Raging Cajuns right now, Louisiana Lafayette, all over App State right now. 14-0, a bit of a surprise there. About 8.5 minutes to go before halftime there. So, again, we're getting a lot of points between Cincinnati and Houston, not so much against Georgia and Alabama, and these games have national championship implications. So we've got you updated right here with all the live numbers. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Discover what winning feels like at BetMGM. Register for the King of Sportsbook using the code VSIN200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any college football game and any team simply scores a touchdown. BetMGM is always ready to keep you and help you for gridiron glory. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the code VSIN200 to win $200 when you bet $10 on any college football game and any team simply scores a TD. It's time to turn a big play into an even bigger payday. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and or Nevada. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. This is Betting Across America. And right now, Georgia picking up the tempo offensively. They've got a first and goal up 3-0 on the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, George Pickens, welcome back. He's Pickens that ball out of the air in between two Alabama defenders. And now Georgia going to end the first quarter at now second and goal as the clock's going to wind down. Georgia, by the way, 3-0 to end the first quarter. Now up to -9.5, 43.5 currently on the total. So big play down there from George Pickens. And, you know, Stetson Bennett kind of threw it up there, but George Pickens came down with it. So we are now at the end of the first quarter there. We're also in the end of the first quarter in Cincinnati. Houston going to have a 3rd-and-8 from the Bearcat 37. And referring to our earlier guest, Mo Egger, who joined us to break down this game, and his tweets at Mo Egger on Twitter said, it feels like Houston has 14 guys on offense right now. And it really does.
It does.
Because Dana Holgorsen and the coordinator, Shannon Dawson, they're scheming guys open and they're getting open down the field. But Cincinnati going to try to hold them here. 3rd-and-8 from the 37. Current in-game line at BetMGM, Bearcats -9.5, -$1.20, 65.5 on the total. That under, not looking promising.
Not good so far. But let me ask you this, Wes, for the in-game wagers out there. When you mentioned Cincinnati now is favored by 9.5, and you're getting about 8.5, 9 now with Alabama, if you want to back them, assuming that Georgia's going to get points here, right? Already up 3-0, so potentially could make this a 10-0 lead. Have you seen enough from the Crimson Tide that even if they give up the score here, that you think getting 9.5, 3 more than the pre-flop, might be an advantageous spot to hop in?
Yeah, looking at the offense, they do have 46 total yards, does Alabama, on basically two drives so far they have. I believe this is Georgia's 3rd drive that they're trying to get points yet again. So, you know, I really haven't seen a lot out of that. I mean, they're not going to be able to run the ball like traditionally. They're just not. Robinson Jr., by the way, who was hurt, is playing. He is their top running back that Tony Barnhart did mention earlier in this very program. It's going to have to be Bryce Young. They're going to have
to
get
him. And he's not running the
football. No, he hasn't run at all.
Not it.
I mean, we've been hearing, you know, we talked to our buddies, Matt Hayes.
Oh, the secret
and
weapon.
All the guys that come on here.
Where's the secret weapon?
Yeah, we've got a scheme here, maybe some zone read or getting Bryce Young on the move. After a quarter, by the way, Georgia's averaging 7.1 yards a play. Obviously, that Pickens reception helps that. Alabama only 3.8 yards a play.
My pizza money might be going bye-bye. By the way, I don't know what we're going to get tomorrow, but I'll get something for the crew. I was hoping to spend that pizza money on the crew tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that works out for the Green Zone. Okay, so right now with Georgia, everybody might go hungry here.
We might have to they have to talk to our suits here at Visa and give you a salary advance.
We're going to have to talk to some people. Let's talk about some other games here. And obviously, when you look at the Big Ten title game between Iowa and Michigan, the steam has been coming in all day, all week, really, because, again, it was 11 for the majority of the week, and then we saw a lot of Michigan money coming in here late. Do you think the Sharps might be waiting, see if this gets up as high as 12.5, which is where it is right now at BetMGM, and then come back on the Hawkeyes?
There were some sharp guys I knew it took 11 and thought that that was too high because this opened 8.5, because when you asked me, okay, what's that line going to be, Wes? I said, like, 8.5,
right.
9, and that's what it was, and then all of a sudden you saw 11 really as the global opener. And now that has been absolutely steamed. So, you know, you might have some guys come back at 13 because when the total is dropping, I do sometimes think that that gives value on the underdog. Now you're starting to see some 44, so a little bit of buyback on the over, but that typically happens when you get the general public involved on game day. Most of the money always comes in on game day, whether it's college football or the NFL. So you're seeing some 44s, including at BetMGM. It is tough to figure out how Iowa I understand, is going to score in this game. Because we know that that offense, even though they're back with Spencer Petras, because we know he lost the job to Alex Padilla for a couple of weeks, got it back, led him against Nebraska. But look, they were down big in that finale against Nebraska. I think it was 21-9. Get that blocked punt. And then all of a sudden it turns
around.
And that's what Iowa does. And that's why Iowa is always a dangerous underdog. Because when you look at their numbers, they're putrid offensively. And by the way, I'll get right back to that. We do have a touchdown down in Atlanta.
Yeah, it looks like Stetson Bennett, the most southern name ever, has got Kirby Smart and company on the board here with the first touchdown of the day. 9-0 PAT pending the first play of the fourth quarter. So, again, that was kind of built in when we saw you get Bama at 9.5. No hold here. And, again, the Alabama defense, let's be honest, you know, it can get got.
Yes.
And it just got on that drive. Easy drive for Stetson Bennett and company as they go ahead and now have a 9-point lead.
And we'll get back to our Big Ten breakdown in a second. Fourth and three now for the Houston Cougars. They are going to go for it here just outside of field goal range.
They're
and they are
it.
Going to get it. Nice play call there, running back out in the flat. So drive's going to continue for the Cougars. But back to Iowa, Michigan here in this Big Ten championship. You look at Iowa's offense. They're one of eight teams. There's 130 teams here in FBS in the Football Bowl subdivision. Iowa's one of the eight teams to average less than 300 yards of total offense.
Ooh.
They averaged 299, 105th in rushing offense, 110th in passing offense, 87th in scoring offense, 114th in team passing efficiency. Those are ugly numbers.
Yeah,
there's no way to spin them. 103rd on third down conversions, 120th on fourth down conversions. So, you know, not great offensive numbers. Another one, 113th in the red zone. So Iowa is going to have to manufacture points off short fields, and that's what they can sometimes do. They are tied for fourth in the nation at turnover margin, averaging one a game. The problem for them, Michigan has not shown the proclivity to turn that football over this year. They're one of the least turnovers, especially with a new full-time starting quarterback in Cade McNamara, and they also throw in the freshman from IMG, J.J. McCarthy, you know, to give him different looks, maybe do a little bit more run packages with him. But this is a top 10 defense for Iowa, scoring defense, I think ninth. They only allow 17.2. And when we talked about that with Damon Benning, what makes me think they can at least stay in this game and with this number, Iowa is not a team that's going to get pushed around at the line of scrimmage very often.
They'll punch you.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a reason why Kirk Ferentz is one of the better developers of offensive linemen, also defensive linemen, but mainly offensive linemen in the nation. And you see them dudes get drafted every single year come April. So, look, I think Iowa will be able to meet Michigan's physicality, which Ohio State, although more talent on those lines in the trenches, they really couldn't match up with Michigan in terms of the physicality of the game.
You know, it's interesting when you look at Iowa's season here, right? And they had the back-to-back hiccups against Purdue and Wisconsin, but W's everywhere else. I mean, that's a heck of a season, getting all the way as high as number two in the country, easily covering the 8.5. It was plus money, by the way, for Iowa to win nine games this season. They obviously eclipsed that. And you go, how in the world was this team second in the country? How in the world are they in the Big Ten championship game?
Mm-hmm.
It's because of that defense, because they are so opportunistic.
Yeah.
We saw it on a Friday night weeks ago against Maryland, where it just looked like every play was a turnover for Maryland. Iowa will capitalize. If you want to throw it up there, they'll go get it.
Well,
Michigan doesn't play that solid game.
Yeah. Well, remember when we talked about that and we called that upset Purdue over Iowa and they went ahead and as double-digit underdogs and beat them outright. And then Iowa in the next game after a bye week lost at Wisconsin. So they lost two in a row. So all of a sudden the Hawkeyes, it's like, okay, our playoff hopes or anything like that is done. But then they thought maybe their Big Ten championship plans were done.
Not so much.
What do? They hang in there. They kind of get in the back door because Minnesota knocked out Wisconsin in that battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. And there you go, Iowa. Now, I think Kirk Ferentz got to think, hey, we're playing with house money, fellas. We're not expected to win. This
Here
is
we
all
are.
Set up for Michigan to have their crowning a moment where Michigan is finally back to what they were, you know, in the 1980s. I was watching, we had the BTN on one of our TVs here in the studio doing the pregame, and they showed that matchup 1985, 1-2, where Iowa knocked them off 12-10. And speaking of 1-3,
Whoa!
That game has gotten a lot closer.
I think Bryce Young just won the Heisman Trophy because I don't know that it's going to take a whole lot. But Alabama with a big strike against UGA, and we've got a ball game there, 10-6 PAT pending. And, boy, Alabama really needed it because it was starting to get sit down on your time at 10-0 here for Georgia. and a field goal for Houston right now. It is good. So 14-13 there. We got a lot of drama.
67-yarder to Jamison Williams, who did the little Daniel LaRusso crane kick pose there in the end zone. So now 10-6 PAT pending, 14-12 left to go in the first half in Atlanta.
Well, you know what Mr. Miyagi said, right? When done properly, no defense. 10-7 Alabama on
Very
the
good.
Board. Scott Seidenberg is going to join us at the top of the hour. We got college football playoff implications galore. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.